The words, "come near to God," appear in the Bible in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. These words are attached to a promised result of great encouragement, and He will come near to you. You are listening to the Words of Life program, and today, Brother David Johnson, our speaker, will continue in our study of the book of James with the sermon, "Come Near to God." Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who love Jesus, and who want you to hear about Him. We now praise our Lord with song. prayer is a help in coming near to God. Let's pray. Father, we know that you are God and we worship you. Thank you for allowing us to talk to you and call you Father. Please use the words of this program for your glory. Bless each one who is upholding your name throughout the world, and we thank you for them. Lord, some of our listeners are in need of healing, peace, and a right relationship with you. Please bless and give your wisdom in helping us keep our hearts in line with Jesus, looking for his return. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Using James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon entitled, Come Near to God.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, Come Near to God. And we continue in our studies in the epistle, the letter of James. Today's installment is James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Please listen to the Word of God. Submit yourselves, then, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is the Word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his Word. To who exactly is this passage, James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, directed to, is actually debated by commentators. Is it toward true Christians or merely professing Christians? We'll consider both possibilities, both of which have merit, as to the who these four verses are primarily, at least, directed. John MacArthur, a very fine Bible expositor, advocates that it's toward merely professing Christians. Using the New American Standard Bible text, he writes these words, quote, "These four verses contain 10 commands, all given in the form of the Greek aorist imperative verbs. Together, they form one of the clearest calls to salvation in all of Scripture." Unfortunately, many commentators have assumed that this passage refers to Christians and is a call for them to turn away from worldliness back to faithfulness to God. Consequently, this great invitation is often missed. James's purpose throughout the epistle is for professed Christians to test their faith, to find out whether it is genuine or false. He wants no one to be deceived. Like his Lord, he wants to expose the tares among the wheat, as in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, one of the parables of the Lord Jesus. End of quote. It is true that the very beginning of this letter identifies the recipients as, quote, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, end of quote, which is a rather general way of addressing the scattered Jewish Christians residing in predominantly Gentile communities outside of Palestine. Obviously, in the 1st century AD church, as well as in the 21st century AD church, not everybody who claims to be a Christian is genuinely possessing saving faith. We must all examine ourselves, applying many of the tests in this epistle to confirm our born-again relationship to God. However, David Jeremiah, another very fine expositor of Scripture, takes the other view that our text, James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, is written to true Christians who have responsibility to remain faithful to Christ and to his character. David Jeremiah, using the New King James Version text, writes these words, quote, "James uses a series of Greek imperative commands to communicate 9 principles for appropriating grace so that believers can withstand the world's tendency to pull us from God. The same grace that brings a believer into fellowship with God can sustain that fellowship in spite of the pressures of the world. The good news is that God gives even more grace when the pressure increases, especially to the humble. James chapter 4 and verse 6, end quote. Obviously, in some of the exact wording in this epistle, James makes it clear he believes he is writing to genuine Christians. For example, James chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism." Obviously, in the first century AD church, as with us in the 21st century church, true Christians do backslide and sin. In the final analysis, it's really impossible to accurately determine who exactly James was directing at least parts of this letter. I suspect that it's not an either-or option, but instead that James wrote inspired of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Spirit's conviction to fall on the ears and hearts of the recipients to evaluate their spiritual condition in both positions, as confessing Christians and as professing Christians. So let's get on with the exposition. James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The original Greek word translated submit means to place oneself under, that is, here, under God, surrendered, yielded to Him, experientially, not just theoretically, basically to strive for humble obedience consistently to God. In fact, our text emphasizes that it's one's genuine humility that accommodates our submission. Note the preceding verse in James chapter 4 and verse 6 to our text, which ends with a quote from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Also note the repetition of this important virtue at the end of our text, James chapter 4 and verse 10. "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up." So God's maxim here is if we submit ourselves in humility under God's guidance of His commands, He will ultimately exalt and lift us up. A truly humble convert has no problem giving his allegiance to God. No one can be saved unless he submits to God. Likewise, believers must continue to submit to God, working out our salvation, as it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, as proof of genuine saving faith. Jesus Christ must be both Savior and Lord, His Lordship reigning in our lives. Included in our submission to God is the mandatory resistance of the devil, who before our conversions was our Lord, so to speak, whether we knew it or admitted it or not. Resist, translated from the original Greek, means literally to stand against or to oppose. It is folly to have two lords. Only one Lord spiritually, morally, can truly be master. Either God or the devil. It is genuine saving faith by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit who reveals to whom we really belong. The external proof, the verification, is exhibited by our words and our actions. That is, our lifestyle exposes our true hearts. There can be no middle ground, no neutrality. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30 in part, "He who is not with me is against me." It should fortify our resolve to keep Jesus as Lord in knowing, according to Scripture, that to resist the devil, he will flee from us. Here we have a promise of God toward believers that we can have victory even over as powerful a foe as the devil himself. Of course, we must genuinely and fully resist, stand against, oppose him, not merely half-heartedly. I share this illustration to reinforce in our minds and wills that we must resist the devil who continually stalks us. A missionary in Africa says there are three beasts that lie in wait for their prey: the hyena, the leopard, and the lion. The hyena does not devour, but attacks only the vital organs and quickly leaves after eating a few meager mouthfuls. The leopard, too, does not devour its prey, but desires only its blood. The lion, however, completely devours its victim, leaving not a single portion. That is what the devil desires, to be a total destroyer of our souls. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So how, according to Scripture, can we resist him? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9 says in part, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Firm in the faith means to continue to live according to the truth of God's word. That is, to incarnate God's word into our very being, inwardly and externally, as we live it out obediently. James chapter 4 and verse 8, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God deeply desires fellowship with people, first as converts who become adopted sons and daughters into his family, and then afterwards remaining family as we grow, develop, and mature into the character and doctrine of Christ, our perfect example. As we more closely emulate Christ in us, yielded to the Holy Spirit, we draw nearer to God and he nearer to us. Coming near to God was, in one way, in the Old Testament, a general reference to the one who sincerely approached God in repentance, faith, and humility. Consider Psalm 73, verses 27 through 28. Those who are far away from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. The psalmist David also wrote in Psalm 145 and verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Also, in the New Testament, the Hebrews writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, in part, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. So what about the last part of James chapter 4 and verse 8? Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Note, wash your hands is another internal evidence that these are predominantly Jewish Christians to whom James is writing. Would converts as sinners need to come clean before God, genuinely confessing, repenting of their sins, and thereby drawing near to God? Consider Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. You will ask me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Believers also sin and backslide, and so also must come clean before the Lord to restore fellowship with him as we confess and repent our sins. Very well-known passage in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, is addressed to believers, true Christians. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Those plural pronouns include the Apostle John. If we and us is referring also to John as he writes this to true Christians. This imagery continues in James chapter 4 and verse 9. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. The picture here is the need of a truly repentant convert or backslider Christian needing to have godly sorrow for their sin. To not take sin lightly, but to truly seek a relationship or a renewed fellowship with the living God. In verse 7, James called for commitment, submit to God, resist the devil. In verse 8, James called for cleansing, wash your hands, purify your hearts. In verse 9, James called for contrition, grieve, mourn, change your laughter to mourning, all regarding sin. It's a contrite or penitent spirit who is humbled by guilt and repentance, willing to change from sin to the Savior and to his lordship over us. Just as A.W. Tozer, a fine pastor and Christian author, has written, quote, a thousand years of remorse over a wrong act would not please God as much as a change of conduct and a reformed life, end of quote. Someone else has written, quote, regret is being sorry mentally, for example, King Saul, Remorse is being sorry mentally and emotionally, for example, Judas Iscariot. Repentance is being sorry mentally, emotionally, and volitionally by an act of the will, for example, the Apostle Matthew, end of quote. Again, the key that unlocks all this is a proper heart condition, James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. So the way up to God is down. The lowly one becomes the lifted one. There is a conspicuous advantage to humility. Instead of lifting ourselves up, we stay down and God will lift us up. Alex Haley, the author of the book entitled Roots, had a picture in his study showing a turtle sitting on a fence post. The picture was there to remind him of an important truth. If you see a turtle on a fence post, you know he had some help. Alex Haley would say, "Anytime I start thinking, wow, look what I've done, I think of that picture and remember that I'm that turtle on that fence post that needed a lot of hope." We must not forget the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Someone also has well said, quote, "Humility is something we should regularly pray for, yet never thank God that we have enough."
Yeah. sky, sun, moon, and stars forgot, upward I fly. Still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee.
Do you want to come near to God? It all begins with the fundamental belief that Jesus is Lord and Savior. This is really important. James teaches that belief accompanies action. In the book of Acts, we find that people who believed also repented of their sins, confessed Jesus before men, and were baptized by immersion into water. Please consider this, and then also you need to worship with other Bible-based believers in some congregation. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, or if you'd like to have a free CD of this program, please request number 2039. That's program 2039. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172. USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing them over.